or that I can't come, my daughter will still be there.
Oh. And they'll be there the whole week.
They come on a Monday and go on a Monday. Don't forget we're going. You're going with us though. But she's, I think she said she wants to cook. So we'll be home when she's done.
I don't like to do that.
Oh, what do you, honey, she, whoops. She got your name, don't
you? Well, that may burn something, how about
that? No. We'll see what happens if you get home.
No.
Good morning.
Glad to see the intrepid travelers are out in the weather this morning. I did pray for the rain to hold off until after church. So somewhere in the world, it's not raining until after church. Welcome to Lakeside United Methodist Church. If you're first-time visitors with us or back, welcome back. Some of our northern friends are coming back, so it's good to see you all as well. Connect cards. If you haven't not familiar with this, you'll find the Connect card in your bulletin. That's the way we register your attendance with us today. And any messages or information that you would like for myself or the office, I encourage you to write them on that as well. Got a few announcements to cover this morning. Veterans Day. I would like to recognize the veterans. If you've served in the military or police or firefighter, please stand, or are currently serving in that capacity. Please stand so you can be recognized this morning. Thank you. You all are well represented in our church, and we're so grateful for your service, past and present. So thank you all very much for serving your country and serving us as your community as well. So happy Veterans Day.
Betty Lee Gray was in the Navy.
So we want to remember Betty Lee today. She is under hospice care at home. But thank you all for your service. And we're grateful to have you in our congregation today. I do have a note today. We had our holiday bazaar yesterday. We brought in $2,643.65. Thank you all for all of you that helped, the volunteers that helped put that together, and those that have made the crafts and brought jewelry and all the things that you've done for that. And our luncheon yesterday was great. So just thank you all for that. All of that money goes right back out into missions and ministry in our community. So thank you all for that. In case you didn't know that, maybe I should bring this up right now. Just about every penny that we bring in here through our pumpkin patch, through our holiday bazaar, everything that we do turns right around and goes back out into either missions or in ministry in our own community. So the money that you all, that the church generates from those activities, those are things that we put right back out into the community immediately. So congratulations on that and how this church continues to reach out and blesses those around the world and in our own community for all those things that you do. So thank you for that. Next Saturday, we have another opportunity to spend some money at church. The men, the United Methodist men, will be having their garage sale. It'll take place back in our garage. We just pull things out of the garage and set up a sale day. So I would encourage you all to come out for that as well. And if you have, I don't like to say if you have furniture, we'll come and get it, because we have a hard time hauling furniture anymore. We're not the spring chickens we used to be, and furniture hauling is quite a daunting task. But if you have small items that you'd like to donate for the rummage, for the garage sale, I would encourage you to do that as well. So next Saturday, 7:30 to 1. Will be the time for that as well. We're going to have a dinner on December 4th as well. Miss Ruthie Rawson is in charge of that. She's spearheading that effort for us. It's going to be a catered meal. There's information for it in your bulletin. I would encourage you all to look at that. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex, because we'll need to know how many folks are coming. So read in your bulletin about the dinner and sign the sheet in the back so we know how much food to buy. Okay? That would be very much appreciative. Not only are we recognizing our veterans today, the Veterans Day falls on Tuesday this year, November 11th, but it's also Organ and Tissue Donor Awareness Sunday. And I don't know if all of you know this or not, but we have a living miracle among us in this church. And I'm going to have her in a second come forward. There's information in your bulletin on being an organ or tissue donor. I encourage you to read that. And Miss Catriona, I'm going to ask you to come forward. She's going to give you a personal testimony of what it means to be an organ recipient. So welcome, Catriona. You want to stand down there?
Hi. I'm Kat Chanel. For some of you that are new here, I'm Kat Chanel, and I am here to talk to you guys about organ donor awareness. As some of you may know, I had a heart and lung transplant five and a half years ago, when I was 8. When you look at me, you may not think I have a major surgery like that, right? Well, I feel like a normal person now, but before the gift of the organs I desperately needed, I was in very serious condition. And thanks to the unselfish and very generous parents whose child is now in heaven for me, I am here today. I know that there are probably several people in our congregation today that have helped, that have been touched by organ donors. And people of all ages can be organ donors. Please consider signing up to be an organ donor, because it really helps a lot of people. I feel truly blessed to have gotten my organs and to be able to talk to you today. And that I would actually like to include is I had a very rare condition called primary pulmonary hypertension. Anyone can get it in any age. And I was very young when I received it. I was 4. And we are trying to get something passed, a bill passed. And it's to get money for PH research. So the voting is going on Tuesday, I think, yeah, Tuesday. And so if you guys can help us out with that, that'd be great to go and vote for that. Just go ahead and see Sally Chanel in fellowship time if you have any questions about it. That's pretty much it. And I mean, I just wanted to let you guys know that thank you all so much for continuing prayers for me and just including Jessie. She is a wonderful person that also got touched by an organ donor. So thank you guys so much for continuing prayers for both of us.
Many of you folks that maybe are not familiar with Kat's story, we have a living miracle right here among us, in our presence. Where's Max and Timmy at? I can't find you. You're moving around on me too much. Their daughter as well had this same procedure, right?
Just the double lung.
So we have evidence, and I know there's other folks that have had kidney. Raise your hand if you are a recipient of an organ donation. Richard? Anyone else? I thought we had a couple of kidneys. Maybe they're not here today as well.
Tissue
donation as well. So you can see that we have a face we can put with the situation and the name of how special the folks are that receive these organs and tissues. So just know that when you see this little girl here, and I've been here almost 4 years now, and I think she was like this big when I came here, right? You haven't grown that much in 4 years. But she is a precious, precious gem that we have here among us, and she's a miracle. So we have witnessed a miracle today. I want you to know that. And that your participation in either being a donor or just supporting the legislation coming about, there's a bill to be passed. So that's what she brought her sign for. So we just want to encourage you all to be a part of continuing to make miracles happen. So on behalf of Organ and Tissue Donor Sunday, Catriona, thank you. She was so nervous. I said, you're a natural. You will be fine. So thank you for supporting me. Now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Very good. Now, please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Wait for the Lord.
God is here for us. It's our very prayer.
Wait for God's wisdom.
Wisdom is planted in our very souls.
Prepare for the coming of Christ.
Christ lives in our very lives.
Wait, prepare, and be ready to celebrate.
God is here. Christ has come. Love is present here and now.
Praise God. And our opening hymn this morning is Jesus Shall Reign in 157.
Thank you. Sorry.
We're in big trouble with David's battery's dead.
My battery's dead. Do you have a flashlight in your house? How appropriate. Boy, this children's message even involves batteries. What happens when the storm comes and the power goes off and you go to get the flashlight and nothing happens?
And battery's dead.
You can't see, but why can't you see? The batteries might be dead, right? So if the batteries are dead, how do we charge up our batteries? In a flashlight, we really don't charge up our batteries. So we buy new batteries. So when our spiritual batteries are dead, can we just go out and buy some more?
Pray.
How do we recharge our spiritual batteries?
We pray.
By coming to church?
Yeah, we pray.
Listening to a really great sermon by your pastor?
Reading the Word.
We pray.
Reading the Word. That's a better answer than listening to your pastor, right? So that's what we need to do. We need to do something, right? Well, our message today is about... Now, granted, we are born with a certain amount of wisdom, we call it, right? We have some smarts about us, right? But how do we get smarter? In school, what do you have to do to get smarter?
Study.
Study? Is there some preparation to becoming smarter? I used to wake up in the morning and think, I'm smarter today. That's enough. When I was in school, I thought, that's fine. I'm smarter today than I was yesterday, so maybe this school thing isn't that bad. I was wrong, wasn't I? I was wrong. So in order to become smarter, we have to do something, right? We have to prepare ourselves to become smarter, to gain wisdom. You know Joshua, right? Joshua traipsed along in the desert with... Who did he traipse along with?
Moses.
Caleb. So when they got to the river, and God said, Moses, you know, a week or so ago I preached on Moses and how he got right to the edge and looked over and said, no, God said, you're not going to go over there. We're going to send you up on the mountain and you're going to die and I'm going to put you in the ground somewhere. Nobody will know where. So Moses, after all of that, didn't get to enjoy crossing into the promised land. But who took them across?
Joshua.
So do you think Joshua had to be prepared all those years that he walked around out there wondering what in the world is my purpose? So he was being prepared for wisdom, right? And we're going to hear today of the great wisdom that Joshua had to lead the people. And we're going to hear in the message as well that we have to make choices. We have to make choices to gain wisdom. And if we make the wrong choice, we're not going to get very far. So it's all about choices and choosing to prepare ourselves to be wise. That make sense? Wow, that made sense. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Katriana this morning and the message that she brought about. And actually we see in her wisdom beyond her years, Father, these children that go through these transplant situations and procedures, they seem to age and mature so quickly. And Father, we just pray this morning for her health and for her well-being and a long, long, long life of productivity in your world. So Father, we just ask your blessing upon all of us today as we prepare to get wiser. Father, we thank you for the wisdom to be able to choose right from wrong. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Good stuff. She's the star today. She is our star.
Very good.
She humors me by coming up here, you know. If it wasn't for her, I'd have the choir sitting down here. And that never turns out well. Right?
go before the Lord in prayer and bring together our pleadings and our praises and our thanksgiving to God. I know this morning you have things on your heart. Many of you have situations in your own lives that you're seeking God's guidance and help and prayers for loved ones. So as we bring these names this morning, feel free to, in your heart, mention your concerns to God this morning. So hear these names as we lift up these folks from our congregation and from our extended family as well. Marie Gervis spent some time in the hospital in JFK undergoing some tests this week. I haven't heard late word whether or not she's still in the hospital, but is she home? Okay, so Marie is home. That's a blessing. So let's continue to pray for Marie. She's had some health problems this week. Kathy Carpenter as well, nearing the end of her life. Let's just pray for peace for her family. Charlie Ludwig, Carolyn's husband, suffering from a bout of diverticulitis. Bill Rawson as well. Let's continue to lift up Ruthie and her family as they deal with his end-of-life situation as well. Continuing to pray for Betty Lee Gray, who is under hospice care, and Violet Simmons, Gary's wife, will be having some treatment, upcoming surgery and treatment for her as well. We continue to lift up George Russum and the Russum family, and Robin and Barbara as they visit him daily, and to give them strength and stamina to keep up with their schedule, with continued prayers for George. Tom Harden, we're lifting up. He is to have a skin biopsy tomorrow, so we lift up Tom Harden. Dan Walsh's daughter, Shannon, is having some financial and medical problems. We just lift her up this morning and to seek out God's help and wisdom as well. We have travel mercies for Bev and Marty Hartman. They will be heading home to Florida this weekend as well. Gary has a praise. He got his commercial driver's license. He passed his test, so that's a praise this morning. Travelers for Mildred, I always mention your name. Mildred I, it's her 81st birthday on Monday. So just to continue to lift her up in prayer as well. And praising that God is with us in our trials and our problems in life. He's always faithful to us. And we're lifting up Lena as well. Actually, she left today to go up to Jacksonville to see her sister. She's under hospice care as well. Shannon, for healing of her eye. And the praise just for yesterday's bazaar that we had. I know there's things on your life, under your lives this day that you need to bring before the Lord. So let's now pray and ask God to be the major, major part of our life where we go and seek God's help. So would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the rain that you have brought today. We are grateful for the opportunity to come and share this time of fellowship, Lord. We are blessed to have some of our northern friends returning back to us, Lord. We're praising you for safe travel and for just providing them an opportunity to come back and spend this winter time with us. Father, we're lifting up those mentioned here today for their health concerns, for financial, for relationship issues. Lord, we're praying that you would become the cornerstone in each of these folks' lives. That as they seek you out, Lord, they would find the fulfillment of what it is you have for them in this world and in this life. Father, we're recognizing our veterans today, those who have served their country so selflessly, that, Father, they have given a part of their own lives to maintain and to protect what we so enjoy, the freedoms that we enjoy today, Lord. We are just grateful for their service to our nation on this Veterans Day. Father, we do give you praise and thanksgiving for those willing to give of themselves personally through organ and tissue donors. Father, as families make decisions on young lives that have passed too quickly to give someone else a chance at life, Lord, we are so grateful for their faithfulness for life to continue in the name of the person that has gone on to their glory.
Father, we're grateful for Catriona this morning and the message that she brings to us about hope and about faith and about love of life that she shows each one of us. So, Father, we just pray today that you would be with all of us as we make a decision to be organ donors or tissue donors, Lord. There are lives and situations to be changed forever through our gifts. So, Father, I just ask you to be with us today as we continue to worship and praise you in your holy name, that we would feel your presence here mightily with us today. Father God, as we struggle through life's trials and temptations and turmoil, if we only turn to you, our burdens are made lighter. So, Father, I pray today that each one of us would meet you in a new and glorious way here today. That your Holy Spirit would fill this place, and through our song and through our worship and through our praise, God would be glorified. Father, thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the blessings of tomorrow and our hope and our future, which lies within you. And the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Father, be with us now as we pray with the confidence of children of God this prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be
thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
bless our offering this morning. Let us share with those that you have called to be in our presence. Father, we give you the praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you,
Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt, from that land of slavery, and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he drew before them decrees and laws. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words from Joshua. Father, as we prepare ourselves for wisdom, let us know that you go before us. Bless this message today. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Joshua's given them an ultimatum today, hasn't he? Do I stand before you today and give you an ultimatum? I could. But the ultimatum comes from yourself. It's your freedom to choose who you will worship. Verse 15 here tells us that if we have no desire to worship the Lord, choose today then whom you will worship. Joshua's given them a choice. As I spoke earlier, Joshua had been prepared to lead his people into the promised land. He had been prepared. He had been well prepared. And what did he do? He believed and trusted in God. He knew that God would lead them. He says, "But I and my family will worship the Lord." That's our affirmation from God's word today, that a decision of faith by Joshua shows his heart is yearning, the yearnings of a great spiritual leader. Do we need spiritual leaders in our lives today? Yeah. It's hard to do that on our own, isn't it? I spoke many times of the spiritual giants in my life. And without them, it would be difficult for me to press forward. I do feel that I've been called by God to stand up here in front of you and tell you all, because I love you like God loves you, that there's a better way. That there is a way for each one of us to bask in the glory of God. Joshua, he came, he prepared the children of Israel for the land of Canaan. He made it clear to them that that was their priority. The priority was to move across the river into the land that had been promised to them. But he also told them that they must choose. They had a choice to make. This is the story of a man who made a decision not only to change his own life, but to change the life of a nation. In our Bible study, we say all the time how grateful we are that we're not quite as hard-headed and stiff-necked as those Israelites. They make us look good.
Amen.
They make us look good. In this case, though, they have decided they will follow the Lord God of Israel. Do you think Joshua said, "I'm glad they did it"? Our history proves us wrong as an Israelite nation that we always did the right thing. They have a tendency to kind of turn their back on God, don't they? None of you have done that, right? Have you lived all your years never turning from the guidance and the wisdom of God's Word, right?
Right.
Right. No hands went up. We have a tendency to be Israelites. We have a tendency to not make the right choices. Life is a series of choices. We make choices every day. Did you all make a choice this morning when your feet hit the floor? The weather looks bad. I'm going to make a choice to stay in bed this morning. Or no, I hear that preacher's going to preach a good message today. I got to get to church. I'm going to choose to go to church. I'm going to beat my own drum kind of morning today, aren't I? But I'm doing it in a humble way, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They say that comes from insecurity. Do you believe that? I do too. Why me, Lord? But our choices determine our character, our direction, our destiny, and our eternity. Are you always happy with the choices you make?
No.
Me either. I've made some dumb choices. I've made some good choices. But I've made a choice. Me and my house will serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's all I can do. That's all that I have the courage to do, is to make a promise to God. A couple of weeks ago, I told you to wake up every morning and recommit yourselves to Christ. How many have done that? You know what? Many of you have told me I do that every morning. I am glad you took me at my word.
Amen.
Does that make your day go a little better? It does, doesn't it? Things go a little better when we can say, okay, God, I don't know what you're going to do with this mess, but here you go. It's a lot easier for me to give my message to God than it is the good things. How about you? Because I take care of the good things. I make them happen. And God, here's your mess. What are you going to do with it today? We have a choice. So where our wisdom and our knowledge and our preparation come from is us learning what to choose and how to choose it. How do we see the knowledge that will allow us to receive the blessings of God? You know, we don't always know to read the Bible and say, yep, that's what I'm going to do. We have to make a decision that we're going to do what God tells us to do. Now, sometimes I don't like what God tells me to do. How about you? Sometimes God is out of his mind. He's out of his mind. This will never work. You know how many times during the week people tell me, I don't know how that worked out that way. I have no idea why that happened. Why did that happen? You know, of all the choices we make in life, there's only one that has eternal consequences, isn't there? Today, are you all going to recommit yourselves to God each morning and recommit your household? The writer of Proverbs over and over warns us, depending upon man's wisdom rather than seeking God's wisdom and making decisions. When you seek counsel from someone that you trust, are they a faithful, God-fearing person? Has God touched them to allow them to help you make decisions? Anyone ever sought advice from the wrong people? Why didn't God warn you about those people? Maybe he did. Proverbs tells us, be leery of those folks. Be leery of the man that knows everything. We need to seek God's wisdom in making. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe." Your life is not an accident. Who here has been told they're an accident? Well, you know, there are families who say that in a joking way, I hope. But why did God allow you to be born if it was an accident? Does God have accidents? Does He produce accidents? Absolutely not. The Bible tells us that He saw us while we were still in the womb. He has really good eyes, doesn't He? The Bible tells us that every day of our life is recorded in the big book. That's a really big book. Some of you are really old and you have a lot of pages in that book. Just some of you in this room. You think that book would fit in this room? I love the movie where Jim Carrey becomes God and he's answering prayers and he says, "Well, I need to put these in a file." You see that? All the files that came up? The whole room filled with file cabinets. God has a lot of days in His book for each one of us. Psalm 139 claims, "The Bible declares you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." A lot of you have said, "You know, my plans just never seem to work out." Duh. Wonder why. I've told you a little bit about my story, my call into ministry. It took me years to try to convince God, "You're wrong here. This is what I want to do. This is where I feel called." And I tried to beat down every door that came before me, every wall put before me, a little flat on the top here because I ran my head into that wall over and over and over, and God never let it happen. Now when God says, "I think it's a good idea," you go up and you get in front of these folks and you tell them your story. I said, "I don't think so. That's a bad plan. This is the best you can do." Can you imagine talking to God like that? Do you talk to God like that? "God, I think you're nuts on this one." I did that this morning. "My foot hurts. God, I'm staying in bed." No. You've got something to do today, so get up and do it. Doesn't it feel good to have something to do today? Do you always wake up in the morning knowing what that is? Sometimes we don't, do we? We have to allow God to show us what He has in store for us today. How many of you walk through your day bumbling into people, bumbling into things, thinking, "No, God, that's not what you had for me. I'm looking for something else. I'm going to stumble into this person today, but that's not who I'm supposed to talk to. I'm supposed to go over here and maybe talk to you." Does God continue to give us chances to get it right? Does He continue to give us a choice? Good grief, God, I'm getting tired of making choices. I'm getting tired of it. Do we have to accept responsibility for the choices we make? Do you know people today in your life that do not want to accept responsibility for the choices they make?
Yes.
They want to blame someone. They want to blame society. They want to blame the environment. They want to blame the government. They want to blame someone. What happened to good old Adam? He sinned in a perfect environment, didn't he? There was nothing wrong with where he was at until he chose to do the wrong thing. We as a society are made up of individuals. If we cry about social injustices, things that are wrong in the world, and we do nothing about it, then what? We're part of the problem, aren't we? Now that's a pretty heavy burden to put on folks. I don't like the way that is in the world, but I'm going to set my house and be mad about it. I'll show them I'm going to be so mad they won't believe how mad I am. In my house. If we don't do something about what's wrong in the world, we've made a choice, haven't we? Amen. We've made a choice to be a part of the problem. As individuals, we have responsibility. We can accept our responsibility to do something about it. Oh, I can't do anything about it. I'm just one person. You know what? This morning, you're not just one person, because you're here with at least, oh, I'd say 125 people. Is there strength in numbers? Have you ever seen a herd of wildebeest traveling across the great plains of Africa? And the pride of lions come up behind them, or they go down to the river to drink. And those big old crocodiles, 20-some-foot crocodiles, come up and grab one. What do the rest of them do?
Ha ha, look at him. Ha ha.
That's good. Out there running across the plains with the lions chasing them. They take one down. They're like, ah, got you. Stay in the middle of the herd. They'll pick the one off along the edge. We run in herds. Do you believe that?
Yes.
We run in groups. This group is called what? Lakeside United Methodist Church. We run in this herd. Y'all believe you're part of a herd? See, I'm kind of put out on a limb here. I'm kind of out on the edge. If the lion was to come by, he'd grab me right away, right? But you folks around there in the middle, my chances are the lion's going to get full before he gets to you, so you're okay. So here I am, running out in front, trying to stay ahead of you folks, but maybe they're coming up behind and back up. And grab you first. So as part of a herd, we have strength, don't we? We have strength in numbers. Amen. We're individuals that's made up of a society. We're made into a society. We need to join together. No situation we face in life is something we don't do with a choice. No matter how bad things are, we have a choice. No matter that we think we can't do anything about it, yes, you can. You can make a choice to change the world. The antidote to ignorance is knowledge. I'm going to read this part. Knowledge comes through truth, and truth brings liberation. The end result of your life here on earth will always be the sum totals of the choices you made while you were here. Done a lot of funerals so far. No one's come up in the middle of one of our funerals and said, that's no good, low down, no good person. They were terrible. Some people choose not to say anything, which I give them credit for that. But the choices we make are going to be what we are, our legacy. You hear me talk of legacy. It's about our choices we make. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, He gave them a choice. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. From Deuteronomy. God is talking to His people. Do you feel God still talks to us today? Our decision to follow God means that we have made a decision, a commitment of sincerity and faith. Can we commit ourselves to God one day and the next day say, "Man, taking a couple of weeks off. Going to Vegas for a couple of weeks. I don't want to be burdened by this God thing. When I get back, I'll recommit myself and everything will be fine." Does that work? We're not confident in that answer, are we? Do we stumble and fall? Yes, we do. God is there to pick us up. Are we ever selfish in our decisions that affect others? Have been. We can choose to be selfish and not let those around us benefit from our years of wisdom and knowledge of God's Word. As a follower of God, we should make a similar statement to our families. If we're to commit ourselves, we should commit, as Joshua did, his family. My house will worship the Lord. When folks come into your house, do they walk in knowing that, hey, this looks different? Is there evidence that you're a Christian inside the walls of your house? Go home and look around. See if someone coming in for the first time would say, I wonder if they're a believer. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Without that spiritual enlightenment, how are we going to know? How are we going to know the divine truth of Christ? All of our other knowledge is ultimately useless, isn't it? Our knowledge of God is what's going to turn our pictures around, going to turn our lives around. It's never too late to do the right thing. You're always in a position to change your destiny. Is that the good news of today?
Amen.
There's always hope to change our destiny. There's always hope. So when we seek the wisdom that allows us to choose right from wrong as individuals and ultimately those that we love, do you realize the choices you make affect the ones you love? A lot of times we think this is only about me. How wrong is that? You're affecting other people. Ultimately, this affects us. Those around us. We need to have the spirit and the process of preparing ourselves to allow ourselves to make the right choices. Folks, life is about choices.
Amen.
Choose God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would give us the knowledge as we seek and prepare ourselves. The wisdom that makes us choose the right thing. Father, as for me and my house, we will worship you. Father, I pray that for each one of us today. It's in Christ's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn. Take my life. Let it be.
Thank you.
Father, let us go from this place now choosing you, and let our house worship you, Father God. Bless us as we leave this place. Let us be the hands and feet and voice of Christ in the world. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.